Welcome to a long overdue episode of the After the Whistle podcast. My name is Smiley, joined by Vangelda. Unfortunately, none of the other guys are ready to return from the long impromptu break we've had. But yeah,
we are back. Impromptu. We did off season. People they on vacation. Yeah,
we did off season.
Try see the team, then go to this year. They try see how life could plan give them for some for the summer and also August. So yeah, if we wait, we don't get anything to do with it.
I don't even know whether to apologize or something, but yeah,
they understand.
Yeah, you speak and move on.
The school people are on the vacation.
The positive thing is that we are back, so yeah, get ready for more episodes from us. And before anything, we have to start on a very somber note because, as everybody knows, earlier this week, we lost Diogo Jota to a car crash, which killed both him and his brother. So that's something that shook the entire football world. Like, it's one of those things that when it happens, you forget everything about rivalry, you forget everything about who supports what team. It's like, suddenly we are all just football fans. We are not fans of this club or fans of that club. It hits everybody equally. So yeah, like, me, I remember when I heard the news, I was driving at the time. And I thought, like, I was listening to the radio. So I thought somebody's just reading some fake news or something. Because it's one of those things that you think about losing players in different ways. Like, he doesn't play for the club, I suppose. But every time you think about losing a player in your club or something, you never consider the possibility that a player can just die. Like, then go sell him, something will happen like Greenwood out of the blue. You go, yes, you go do something right now. You for kick him out of your club. But you never actually considered like the possibility that actually my player can just die like that. And just like that, he's no longer there. Like, he just ceases to exist. So it's one of those things that is just hit everybody hard. Like, a lot has been said so far. You can't, there's no words that can describe how people felt after that news hit, and people have still not fully recovered from the news. So I just want to say my condolences to everybody, from his family, his wife, his children. Like, it's just a terrible, terrible situation all around. And aside that, me, I just want to say a few words about like the sort of comments people have been passing about things not necessarily related to his family and himself directly. Like, I saw a lot of debates on Twitter, people talking about how Ronaldo didn't attend the funeral, all sorts of things. And it's just very unnecessary for me, because for me, this goes beyond our normal football topics. I feel like people should learn to understand where the football ends and where the life begins. Like, it's not something that you can just come and put your opinion, this guy should have done this, this guy didn't do this. Like, you don't know what's happening behind the scenes. This is a situation that shouldn't be about your opinion and what you think this person should do, what you think this person... Like, just focus on the family, focus on the fact that somebody is dead, his family is mourning. Whether Ronaldo attended the funeral or not, it doesn't matter. It doesn't, like, it's of no relevance to you. It's of no relevance to anybody. Just don't know what is happening. You don't know what is behind the scenes. So, Charlie, just stay away from all of those unnecessary conversations, unnecessary topics. I don't know if Vangelda has anything to say, not necessarily about this, but like just about the situation in general.
Yeah, I just want to first of all also extend my condolences to Jota's family, his mom especially. I can't imagine what she's going through, losing both her kids. I think she has only two kids. So losing both of them on the same way in such a cruel, cruel manner. I don't think that any words anyone can say or anything actually anyone can do other than resurrect them that can appease her. But I pray that, like, you know, God strengthens his family, his wife, his children in this very difficult moment. I think Liverpool have handled the whole situation very well. I think they've been very generous and gracious to the family, you know, retiring his number, saying that they'll pay out the rest of his contract to his family. I mean, one might say these things don't matter, right? It won't bring him back, but still, it shows the kind of institution that he was a member of. And it's something that us as football fans always wish that when such things happen, all our clubs will do something like this, right? If a Chelsea player was the one who was dead, I'd 100% expect that Chelsea would do something like this for the player, just so that at least his memory is preserved and all of that. For those who are making arguments, I've seen a lot of things, like people talk about all manner of things. And even yesterday, when Musiala got injured and there was the issue about, oh, Club World Cup, this is just a money-grabbing tournament. And look at what's happened for such a talent. Somebody came past and comment like, yeah, Diogo Jota was also on holiday and he died. So, like, come on, like, these are not the kind of things that we should be doing, right? And sometimes I think people just forget that outside of football, there's real tangible life, right? Life that actually has consequences that, you know, impacts the lives of others. And we have to, as football fans, sometimes know when to draw the line. That's what makes you a good person or like just a human being, right? Knowing when to draw the line, when to reason for yourself and all of that. So for me, I think that I was impressed, or so to speak, of about how, like, you know, people came around. Liverpool fans, Chelsea fans, Everton fans, United fans. This one, there was no, even Asante Kotoko sent a tweet out, you know, commiserate, and that's beautiful. Kotoko has never played Liverpool, probably. I don't know. Well, I have to ask Kawawa for the history, but I don't think they've ever played Liverpool. I don't think they've ever directly faced Jota, but it was a class act for them to do it. And I saw people also chastising them and coming against them. It doesn't, this is something that has happened to the entirety of the fraternity of football, from fans to admin to clubs, everybody, you know, it just makes you realize how easy or how simple life is, how final death is. Like, I was thinking about it, right? And I was just wondering to myself, we think about football players like they are so old, but Jota is 1 year younger than me. Like, I was just deep in it for a moment. Like, Jota is just 28. If Jota was a regular guy, he'd now be trying to figure out his life and what his future holds, right? Sometimes we think because footballers enter their prime and their peak and they go on retirement or they stop playing football at, say, 32, 35, whatever the age is now. So we kind of think that that's where life ends, right? But that's not it. Jota is just, he was a very, very young man with a very bright future. Even if he stopped playing football at the age of 35, he could go on and go to school, he could become an agent, he could become a coach, or he could go outside and do something totally different, not related to the sport at all. All those dreams and visions and whatever have been captured. Now his children will never have their father read them a bedtime story again. Do you know what that means? He has one of his children is very, very young, like 1 or 2 years old. Do you know, she will probably never have any proper memories because at the age where she is, she can't remember even his face unless they keep showing her picture like, this is your dad, this is your, like, let's just take a moment and just deep, what a grave, unfortunate incident this is, you see. So for me, it's just unfortunate. It's really, really sad. Really, really, really sad. I liked him as a footballer, like, just generally as a player. I thought he was a very good player. And I'm quite sad, you know. You think about Liverpool, even though they are not my team. Like, right now, all of you, the goal season is, I figure you get 2 strikers, right? And all of a sudden, you're striking. Sorry. And it's not like you sold him. He just died.
Like that.
Like,
it's crazy.
Yeah. Condolences, man. Condolences.
You know, and just a quick one on what you're saying about his age and everything. I think the other thing that makes it very painful when footballers die so young is that the whole idea of being a footballer and being paid so much is that people say you just have to focus on your career for like 10 years of your career. Mm-hmm. Just put everything into your career, be disciplined, even though you're getting so much money. You can't actually like enjoy the money as a normal person would be able to typically mm-hmm. enjoy their money. There are certain things you have to do, the things you eat, don't do certain things, live a certain way, don't be, generally be disciplined in life. You can't just do whatever you want.
Don't just go to somebody's house, make it offer you something, where he no go fit tell you what exactly they inside because it go fit be banned sometimes. Like
yeah, you, like even just going out, going to the club on a random night you want to go out. Like if there's so many things that you are not supposed to do, you are supposed to live a certain way because the whole idea is that okay, when you're maybe 30 and beyond and you retire, then you can finally start living and enjoying your money. So it's very painful when like you don't actually get to like enjoy the fruits of your labor. You don't get to that point where now you can actually start living life, put the football aside and start living life. So yeah, it's a very painful situation. And once again, our condolences to Jota and his family and everybody who knew. So unfortunately, there's still football to talk about, even though sometimes it feels like the football is very irrelevant. It doesn't matter in the bigger picture here. But yeah, currently the Club World Cup is going on. Before this tournament started, there was so much debate about whether it is even a necessary tournament to be played because it felt like FIFA was just trying to find another avenue to create money to come and, I don't know, just another money-grabbing opportunity. Even though from all the looks of it, it doesn't even look like they are going to make any serious money from this first edition. Maybe, obviously, they are trying to build it from the ground up. So the first few editions, they might not make a lot of money from it. But yeah, there was so much debate about whether this tournament was an important tournament, whether it's something that should even exist or anything. I don't know whether since it started, opinions have changed about the relevance of this tournament. For Van Gelder, your team is playing in it too, and you have a very strong chance of making it to the final and winning it too. I'm very sure at the moment it is a very important tournament to you. Let me just, since I'll give you that grace, your team is in it, that how do you feel about the Club World Cup? Not your team being in it, but the Club World Cup in general. How do you feel about how it's gone so far? Whether it feels like something that is here to stay or it's just a temporary something that will actually last?
I think this is not what I thought it would be, but I also think that it's a good idea. And I've always thought it was a good idea, largely because if you think about the previous format of the Club World Cup, happened every year, European clubs rarely took it seriously because they always entered during the quarterfinal stage. So you come to Club World Cup, you know, go play the group stages somewhere, you go enter quarterfinal, play two matches, no, you win, three matches, you win. So you can imagine for all these other teams, that is why you have teams like especially the Brazilian teams, how beautiful and how well they've played across the competition, right? At some point, they were undefeated as a football federation. They were the only ones that had not lost to anybody. Do you understand? And I think this format is good. Every 4 years, just like how we do like the World Cup, the normal World Cup. Imagine if we had a World Cup every year. You know, we'll make it be safe. But if it be every 4 years, and imagine if Chelsea win this, you would die. For now to the next edition, every time you go talk to we, even if we don't win any trophy, are you talking to the world champions? Because right now, if they move to Argentina, they go talk to, hey, world champions. Do you get? And so I think that it's a very, like for the bragging rights, the money crowd here, I mean, I'm not saying it's no importance. If Barcelona was here, like Barca fans, them I will get, make you no mind them. They know they drop the money some. The easy money, they know they get some. That'd be why they invest like that. But, you know, the money is important. Teams are making the money. I think the players are also, like right now, most people are just like playing for pride. You get, like the passion involved is crazy. Of course, FIFA had to put in some clauses in the contract. So by accepting to play, you accept that you will field your best possible 11 every time. So you don't get choice. So that's why somebody they go face Monterrey, if a play all in squad and goons, because that'd be the contract he signed. And I think that was a very good thing, because if FIFA didn't do that, it ran the risk of European clubs and the bigger world, the bigger clubs across the world, you know, setting up, using this as a mini preseason in the sense of the way that's how people do it, like Django Staff Plaza, my academy boys, then they go play, then go stop, then they go do 12 minutes break, then they go do this, then they go do 15 changes at a while, then all those things. But
since all the FIFA rules governing football apply, and also, you know, you've also signed that you will field your best possible 11, it means that at the very least, everybody will take it seriously in the very beginning. And I think that that's how it's gone through. If you watch the games, we've seen some very impressive teams, seen some very impressive players. You know, like, I mean, I didn't know much about Al Hilal. Charlie, then they play ball. And then they play ball. Where the free season to say, Charlie, the money, you know, like if you base Monterrey, Charlie, then my keeper, if he send me pro, they work for some packaging shop or something like that. The money where the club gets, sometimes we feel sort them like some 2 years. You know, and so like people think about it like this, and we bigger European club supporters, sometimes we are like, oh, you know, what will 100, what will 10 million do to? It's not just about Chelsea. It's about the fact that Mamelodi Sundowns and Al Ahly and Esperance de Tunis all got like $4 or $5 million. Do you know what that money can do for those clubs? Imagine if Asante Kotoko or Hasofuk made it there and they each got $2 million, $3 million. No, Smiley, you didn't see the point. So, like, yes, we can.
They're making $10 million just by participating in the group stage.
Yes.
$3 million yes. for a win, $2 million yes. for a draw or something like that. So it's a lot of money.
So it'll be plenty money. It's not just like, bro, it's not just that. And also, it's a good dress rehearsal for the World Cup. Because, for instance, this weather thing where Chelsea start match Saturday, Friday, we finish on Saturday, or we start match Saturday, we finish on Sunday, or some crazy thing like that. We play ball continuously. We stop the game, then everything. 5 hours. Less more like Benfica won't take San Paul on a guy inside. Yeah, bro, like, all those things are things that is good for us to know now. Imagine if we didn't have this World Cup. Like, who knew that if in the World Cup, you know, right now as the rule states, if they do like, it won't rain, wait tender happen, or with a break, 30 minutes. And the rule is that if within that 30 minutes, any other tender strikes, the clock go reset. That be how Chelsea, when a match chair like that too. Someone be there, left like 3 minutes. Wait and hear boom, boom, boom. Within 10 miles, they say, hey. You know, so I think in the grand scheme of things, just to cut it short, I think it's been a very good tournament. I think teams have benefited from it. Like, Bayern Munich might not feel that way, but they've eliminated them, so they've got to go home. You know, but if you ask Fluminense, if you ask Bayern or Chelsea or Real Madrid or Botafogo or, you know, Mamelodi Sundowns, Monterrey, like, if you ask the people that have participated in this, the MLS sides, everybody has had the opportunity to represent their continent and their nation well. It doesn't matter whether you didn't make it out of group stage or not. You were there. You played. Like I remember, like, you know, the zone doing analysis of Mamelodi Sundowns. If it wasn't for Club World Cup, when then we go do that kind of analysis? You know, then the coach of Mamelodi Sundowns is following some of the analysts. The analysts are, you know, messaging him. He's messaging back. It's nice. You know, it be good vibes. Right? And so at the end of the day, I think that, and it's also, for instance, I think that the state of refereeing is horrendous, because the refereeing way going on for this Cup has been pathetic. So, for instance, next year, FIFA not say them for up them a refereeing game, because this cannot be the standard for the World Cup. Do you get what I mean? So I think there are several things that you can point to that are positives for most of the teams in there. Some of the, like Chelsea, like this. If we come out Tuesday or we go final next week by this time, we didn't prepare camp play. If we finish, we know if we do preseason in the full sense of the word again. The players will go 3 weeks break, then go camp, then you almost catch the season start. They will camp in Cobham, play 2 matches, one against Leverkusen, one against Milan, all at Stamford Bridge. So they no go travel. Then that's it. Then the season starts. Yes, the players will be tired. Yes, it could affect the way we start the season or even the way we end the season. Maybe the players will be so exhausted that some of them can pick some injuries. But none of us know that. None of us know that. Like, Manonoya, they go skiing. We go breaking leg. you know, but anything can happen at any point in time. So, yes, players are tired and maybe could they have rested a bit? Maybe could it have been that the season ended a bit earlier, so players had a little break before it started? All of those are things that can be considered. But for the very first edition, these are things that, you know, if they do something new, obviously you get some wrong. But overwhelmingly, I think FIFA has got a lot of things right than they've got wrong.
So for me, before the tournament started, I was probably like 99% against the whole idea and concept. Maybe now, after everything I've watched, that 99% has dropped to maybe 89%. I'm still against it. But
if United Nations, they make 2 million, like, you're going to be against them. You say, all your people will be against them. It means like, if your clubs don't, they make the money some. Like, if Chelsea win Tuesday, pay guarantee 89 million. That be all one of transfers we do. Or we the money with the UEFA, we go fit take pay them, then move on.
I'm still against it, but at least now I see a few merits to the tournament and why something like that should exist. It's just that I still don't think that a tournament like this can feasibly be inserted in the football calendar. I think no matter how good the idea is, there's no way to insert it into the football calendar without causing any major inconvenience.
So, do you think they will try and use this to replace, what's that thing that they used to play the year Confederations before?
Confederations Cup.
Yeah, do you think...
So, that's probably the idea behind it. But for me, the reason why this one is a more inconvenient fit for the football calendar is that the general idea behind FIFA's whole concept was that, okay, regardless, almost every summer players go out to go and play international tournaments that end middle of July, and then they go back to their clubs. So, like, it's not much of a difference. But there's actually a huge difference, because if your players go and play an international tournament, maybe like maximum 4 of them go reach the final, 3 or 4 go reach the final. By quarterfinal or something, almost all of them have left inside. But you hardly find a situation where it's like 3 players from one team all reaching the final, 4 players from one team reaching the final. But this is the first time we are going to see a situation where an entire team is still playing competitive football as at middle of July,
Yes. It's still 24-25 for us.
Exactly. So just like I'm saying, we've never seen a situation like this where everybody in one team is still playing football. So we can't even predict the impact it's going to have on the football calendar in terms of their fitness and all of those things. We can't predict until the season starts, and then maybe players start getting more muscle injuries than usual, something, or players are worn out by April, March or something. We just don't know how it's going to impact the football calendar and impact the teams playing in the tournament. So for that reason, like, it's just, for me, an awkward fit inside the football calendar, no matter how good the idea is. But
what if they started it, say, early July, and so, like, the whole of June there was no football, so that the team that were going to be involved, basically this be them a preseason, then finish, no, then they go into the season. That'd be all.
You see, that's from
so that instead European, of a break after the season.
That's from a European perspective. Because remember the Europeans, the teams are the problem with the support European teams. We are very tunnel vision. Yes. MLS, as LAFC and teams they play the tournament, MLS still they go on. And in fact, they're moving the play Gold Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the leagues are still, some leagues are still in the middle of their season. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not like the entire football world from Europe to South America to Asia then gets one standardized calendar. Everybody has a calendar that is unique to them. Even now in Europe, the Norwegian league, they are in the middle of their season. So there's no standard calendar that cuts across the entire football world. So it's just something that is very difficult to fit in to suit everybody. But yeah, apart from that, like, the reason why I say I see the merits to a tournament like this now is that before this tournament, all we ever see is champions of Europe versus champions of South America, champions of Africa versus champions of Asia. So it gives a certain warped idea of where teams are and their place in the football pyramid. So I don't think many people thought the South American teams, and particularly the Brazilian teams, were going to do as well as what we've seen. Because maybe the champions of South America, which are usually Brazilian teams, might not be as good as the champions of Europe. But the champions of South America might be better than maybe the fifth or sixth best team in Europe. Mm-hmm. That's what we are seeing right now.
Because so what did we see? Al Hilal, champions of...
Asia. champions of Asia. Last year.
Them strip Man City make City shock. Exactly. Beat them like so, people.
You see, so it just shows me that like there hasn't been enough competitive football played between different continents in terms of club football. So it doesn't really give you a fair idea of where teams are and how good they are. Because if all you ever see is champions of Europe playing against champions of South America, most of the time the champions of Europe are going to be the champions of South America. So based on that, you say Europe is far ahead of South America. But no, the champions of South America or even the second team in South America is beating teams that are like fourth, fifth hierarchy.
Botafogo. Then them win last year. But this is then they like 10th. Where look at the last year, it looks more like Fluminense go relegation. I know they lie, like then they can't go relegation. So, it be some series of things where Thiago Silva them can help them stabilize them with more. Where they no go relegation, like then they left. Where what's the name? Flamengo. Them they top right now, but then my manager be young. Yeah. Felipe Luis. This been first year as a coach. But they play some very good football. You know, so these kind of things, as you said, it's very important for us. As I think is more so surprising a lot more for the European fans. We the shock, you know, where
that some teams are as good as we are seeing.
As good as we are seeing, and our teams, for instance, me, Al Ahly and things don't shock me. They play some nice football, but. Clearly, you know, we don't reach. But this also helps those clubs to say, Charlie, we go serve small teams where we watch for TV talk with zero, where we read match up, we serve. Charlie, then catch, we don't be easy. We are panting like dogs. They are letting us chase after the ball.
Because after that, Al Hilal win over Man City, right now, it's completely changed people's idea of the Saudi League. Because even over the past year or so, I remember there was a time when Ronaldo said the Saudi Pro League is probably better than Ligue 1. And people were attacking him, people were saying he's just a toxic of he did it and everything. But now, if you're actually looking at how Al Hilal have played, and you look at the fact that they are not even the champions of the Saudi League this season, maybe PSG might be better than all the teams in the Saudi League. But the other teams, maybe the Al Hilal's, Al Nasser, Al Ahly, they might be better than maybe the third, fourth, fifth teams in Liga. So now it's giving people a completely different perspective of those teams. Because even before that, people were even saying MLS and Saudi League, they are on the same level. But now I don't think...
They are not. Don't forget, it's machine. It's Saudi League, they do machine for machine with Europe. MLS, where money they get. Saudi League, then go catch Man City. Then say, yeah, bro, I'm showing you what... What a real proper checkbook club is. Yo.
So let me just say that Corey has just joined. Corey has just joined the conversation.
We didn't talk about that.
Me and you, my best buddy. You be feeder club. You go buy the player now, I can't collect him.
Feeder who? Over where?
You don't have a bed.
We didn't talk about the way Al Hilal then Botafogo then things they make people they see say Charlie we Europe don't be say we be any proper
you know behind you know behind
behind you
know behind
so the play ball bro
so, so yeah the thing is I think it's just giving people a general a better perspective of other leagues. There are certain leagues that, or certain continents that their teams haven't really come to do anything to change our minds about anything. for example, Auckland FC. Maybe we even overestimated them based on what we used to think. Yeah, actually worse than what we thought.
But even Inter Miami.
Inter Miami too. Like, I don't think they've done anything to cover themselves in glory, because when you see how people like Luis Suarez and co are still starting for teams like that, then suddenly you're looking at them like, okay, this, how can a player like Suarez, who can barely even run, still be starting for you? It means the league is not really as good as we think it is. But for the South Americans, for the Saudi teams in particular, suddenly, like, the Saudi project, I think this is probably the most, the biggest stamp of approval that we've seen of the Saudi league and their project. Because suddenly, I'm even scared, I'm even worried, because now I feel like Al Hilal have seen what they've been able to do so far. And now it's giving them more justification to even accelerate with their project, target even bigger players, because now they're seeing that actually this thing is working. We are actually getting some
player for them. Ooh, 75. So, and, see,
see,
another one playing to just 80.
You see, they can collect out. At the Kai, two or three summers ago, the time then with the shift, Koulibaly then things. People say, because if we were honest, to do something unscrupulous, we'd have investigated Chelsea.
Let us all be honest. We all want some of that Saudi money.
You put the money, the time with the talking, people say, no, because right now, you don't want shift players.
No, but God, if I understand, say, agenda must agenda. At that time, now it'd be one person. See, it'd be one person, but they get the money. So then we watch
Gary Neville, you there, no be agenda.
I'm not going to sit here, make you quite watch Chelsea slander. Yes. I'm never going to allow. Please. So, make we shift the conversation back on track.
Eh? Why now you put the one in the cancer?
No. This one, I don't go.
You want to tell me Saudi money?
I don't go agree.
You know, I don't go agree. Anybody.
So anyway, in general, yeah, like I said, my thoughts before the tournament was that, like, I'm 99% against the tournament. Now, I'm more like, I'm still against it just because of how it fits in the football calendar. But I appreciate the fact that we should be seeing more competitive football between teams from different continents. Because we can't just be there and teams from different continents simply never play against each other.
But Smiley, it's every 4 years, no?
Yeah.
That's not bad. Let's be honest.
But if you think about it, it will always be a year before every World Cup. So for two consecutive summers. Yeah.
It's like there's non-stop football for basically like 2 years.
The whole year. I understand. It is ball.
But if the taste good morning, so bro, see.
I don't even think I see. Yeah, my question is: semi-finalists, they go this way, be finalists, but
Bonsa, if Chelsea win this game, if we catch
no, the people wait that they qualify for club world, no, it be UCL finalists, pair. Or like what be the criteria to qualify? Because the money not be bad.
They win the UCL. So Chelsea got in.
PSG don't win the UCL till this time.
No, because basically it's the four Champions League final Champions League winners leading up to the tournament, and then they use the coefficients, the UEFA coefficients, and select the other teams.
Because
and it can't be more than two teams. It can't be more than two teams from one league.
Me in this particular instance, the tournament did jump me because City go. Chelsea go. I was hoping that Liverpool too will go, but I like the way you people go, tie your body, you distress your body, go final, you know, collect the collect the money.
We don't say we will be all about the money. If you show me money,
if you
can't play.
See, but my thing is, say, I think Chelsea will be a little bit also worried when the new season starts.
Oh yeah, that'd be why we buy plenty.
When the new season starts, you people might be fine though. You might be fine till about January.
Yeah.
February, then Charlie. Now you go see, now people did they fall on the wayside.
Off.
The same with City. Even this, see right now, Bayern go sacrifice them a star player, try win the league again. Because this Musiala double leg break there, it be some way. Ankle then fibula there. It be fibula then ankle. It be dislocated ankle then fibula break. So, jeez, it not be, and that, this thing is easy 6 months. Easy.
Yeah, them say 6 months, yeah.
Even before to, then, he go start, they try to come back. And he might not.
Yeah. So, he might not play football. He might not
come back.
So, Germany, the man, walk up next year, sometime make you forget. You know.
He'll be back. He'll be back by the end
he'll
of
be
the
back
season.
Before, but whether he'll be back he'll like be before. The normal Musiala is the problem.
Exactly. Because this is a leg breaker. It affect players. If you think back to Eduardo, Ramsey, then all like, whenever you get a leg breaker, it's not easy to come back from. So,
we'll share.
Is the tournament really worth it at that point?
But you see,
I also understand that other, no, you see, that'd be the negative. But the positive side, you see, it's nice to watch Botafogo versus this, because it'd be different. It's a different, like Chelsea is doing well. I'm seeing how English football fits into the world, like into world for football, how it competes.
It's a nice change.
A lot of people are saying that it'd be trash tournament. Yeah, I understand, say, FIFA, if you know me, the Saudi boys, like, this tournament, no, will come on. FIFA, they dash tickets here and then, don't go me, boss. You go love, can't watch.
That thing, no lie, it'd be sick of where then they play for. If they carry this thing, go somewhere like Europe or Africa, it go shock them.
If you have even South America, even if they had carried this, they would have had a better or audience than what they're
Chelsea won our first game.
What does USA know about football?
Chelsea them our first game. You play them 3 p.m. US time Monday. Chelsea then Inter Miami or somebody like that. Who get that time?
You get me. So the placements of the tournament to the ball. Either they have to take out something for it.
So right now people are bidding for the next edition. Qatar bid, Morocco bid, be like one of the European people to bid. Some people even want to do joint bid. Like the way then they bid for World Cup, that be how them to then they want bid for the next one.
It's a mini World Cup.
I think the problem with the Club World Cup, that's like that differentiates it from the normal World Cup. I don't think maybe I might be getting ahead of myself. I don't think there's going to be a point where you'd have the sort of crowds you see at the World Cup. Because for the normal World Cup, you're having like an entire country wanting to go and watch your country. But this one, is like a team, like a small set of that country. It's like fans of a certain team traveling to go and watch their team. Like, I don't think it's going to translate the same.
It will not especially if you go and do it
in a country like Qatar. Because Qatar, like, first of all, you need a solid fan base in the country itself before the people who travel from outside also come and join. I'm not too sure fans of a club, maybe like particularly the European clubs, would want to travel all the way to Qatar to go and watch PSG play against Auckland FC or something.
Sure.
Maybe when it gets to the latter stages, then fine.
It's in the summer.
No, if them say if you go Qatar, it will be December because them are summer, nobody go play football.
No, what I mean is that the people that will travel, it's summer. This is the time that people are out with them.
And also, ticket prices are cheaper. They talk about the ticket, like match ticket prices. So the time they start, then they won't sell and they won't do the whole VIP, then American way. Bro, nobody buy tickets. The first week, nobody tell them, then scrap them. Quick. Like this, like Chelsea won a game against Fluminense. If you get £9.20, you go if you buy tickets, go watch. If you get £9.20, that'd be like $10 or $12 or whatever. Bro, so if I be Chelsea fan at the State America, then and my only thing is to figure out, spend a bit more to get a ticket in and out and get a hotel. To go to New York.
To be very honest,
go and watch
it's a nice change. It's the same thing. Emirates Cup, getting Arsenal tickets on a regular basis, it doesn't make sense. Like, what if you go through to get the tickets? So, the only time where you can really go watch your team, you went there, they shoot their tickets £60, £70, where you can just
£12, pick 40, from. Sometimes
I did landed every Carling Cup, every Carabao Cup, I go every FA Cup.
Because that'd be the only time you go pick it because they cap those ones, they cap their prices. So that'd be the only, bro. The time I go watch Chelsea Man City, £250,
That one's evident. Are there some?
But that would be nice price,
bro, for Premier League
for
match.
for a game that big. It will be Chelsea. I'm sure the game anyway, was not. You know the matter.
Anyway, but, yeah. Let's shift the conversation to the football itself, because so far, like we mentioned earlier, we've seen some huge results like Al Hilal beating Man City. We've seen some like
and then
we've
losing seen to some, Fluminense. The,
like it would be the most painful thing ever to beat Man City and then go out to like a team that like
So, then they tell you like last year, then they go relegation for Brazilian League. If it's some miracle, they no go.
So yeah, it's been an interesting tournament. Me, like, I've missed a lot of the games, particularly the midnight games. There's no way I'm staying up till midnight to watch certain games. But at least I've managed to catch.
I'm not about it.
Chelsea
match, if it be 2 a.m., the one we play against Palmeiras, 2 a.m., must have bed 9, set my alarm, 1:45, then I turn up, I day my TV top, on my app, I watch the whole game, where I sang go bed. Thankfully, that was Friday to Saturday, so there we go.
So, yeah, we've seen some interesting matches, like, but I think so far, with the exception of Man City, on the European end, most of the teams that you're expecting to go far have gone far.
Like, I wasn't expecting Dortmund to come this far, to be honest. So them coming this far is a shocker for me. I genuinely don't think that team is good. Like, I don't rate them at all. That time where we scored
that
them
one, we are on the same page on that one.
I hope so they will catch Chelsea and score them like some 3-0.
Who goes catch Chelsea score 3-0? Dortmund.
So you let me just start. Let's just start with that one, since that's the one that you will have highlighted. So Chelsea versus Dortmund. First of all, let me just say that Chelsea have had a cakewalk to this stage of the tournament. A cakewalk, how did they go play tournaments like this? And then you're on the side of the draw where only South American teams and teams did outside. Then the European teams are like how.
I looked at their side though, and I had Inter and one other European team with them all for the side.
Inter, they had a super manager who has left, so you should view Inter as pre Simone Inzaghi and
Inzaghi.
Because right now they're not going to be the same team, because that guy was working with scraps and making them look better than they actually are. So now that he's gone, we are come to see their true colors. So Chelsea's side of the draw. They are basically they've basically been handed a final place on the silver platter, so that's in there. They pay me more, but Chelsea versus Dortmund.
On our side of the draw, we had Botafogo, Benfica, Inter, and Man City. Them all day on our side, though.
If we Man City away, then do our way, then come out. But besides that, those are not.
Yeah. So Inter too lost to Fluminense. So Inter then. What did they call them? Inter the Man City. Come on. Where we score Benfica. Where we go play Palmeiras. Where we score Palmeiras. Where we. Fluminense to score Ahila. Where we to. First of all, the problem is if you don't want to blame somebody, I tell you already, go blame Flamengo. If you then want to. Then score we. Chelsea is a small club from London. Blah, 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 blah. The time then.
The tweets were sweet.
Then, Charlie, then that admin came for real.
Sweet.
It came
for
real.
For the admin.
Bro. as that match finished, no, I beat them my biggest rivals to be Fluminense then Palmeiras. When I they say, you know, it was just football. We are all friends here. Chelsea, we're not gonna do anything give them. We're gonna do something give them because we didn't hear the money. But we don't do the of them, make them just know that. But yeah.
So for me. Like the football aspects for me, I think it's not going to be Chelsea are probably going to be Dortmund. I don't want to focus too much on the match itself, but I want
Dortmund
to focus.
Dortmund,
no,
then jade them already.
Then jade them.
Sorry, Chelsea versus Chelsea versus Fluminense.
Yeah,
it's going to be like I think Fluminense should do well, but I don't think it's going to be a match that is going to. I think Chelsea will get through, but from putting aside that part of things. Chelsea, it's a unique tournament and everything for you because you are one of the teams that has gotten to see your new signings up close. You've gotten to see Liam Delap, and then you've gotten to see Estevao playing for Palmeiras, who has won a number of Man of the Match awards so far in this tournament, even though people say that Man of the Match award it'd be popularity contest. So
See, I'm not gonna lie to you. It really be because Chelsea fans go betting up. They say, "Ah, Estevao play today. Where the link? There, they go scan that thing. Go for Estevao. They know what they can vote. Estevao finals my match."
but regardless, you as a Chelsea fan, I'm sure you've kept your eye on him, and also you've been watching Liam Delap. So, what have been your initial thoughts on those two players so far?
First of all, I want to start by saying that. Me, I thought Estevao might need time because of the physicality of the Premier. But, bro, I watched the Brazilian team. I said, no, my boy will be all right. My boy will be all right. Because we and Flamengo, they play, bro.
Who down?
No, see, you will not play the Brazilian team. That'd be why.
He's playing in the U.S. It's different from playing on a cold night for London.
I can agree.
A cold,
to that.
Windy night in Stoke.
As the start for your top, well, you say you know they bab the play, but
you know they if you start for your top, you don't know what you talk to them, so you know they miss. But watching him up close with playing like, not just Brazilian team, but other teams, how he's gone about it. I get the hype now. I get why all the Brazilian journalists wait and they support Chelsea for Brazil. They talk to Charlie, we buy serious talent.
Serious talent. Yamal.
See, is it? All I know is that my boy right now in the guy Europe, you don't know the weather. We just want to make you come.
Vangara, so if you can't wait, it'll give you Silvino vibes. How you go see him?
We go sell him to Arsenal.
Onye for the Chelsea side.
We go sell him to Arsenal. We go call him
to
Arsenal.
That thing has to be investigated. No, that's in a way we will investigate him.
No, but
because
but,
I don't know why we constantly they collect money they take give Chelsea. Wait, why? So we know they see the players before they go to Chelsea or what? I know they understand.
You see, Chelsea is a. I know we are digressing, but give me 2 minutes. Let me explain to you. It's a very unique thing. Chelsea, they found full Arsenal, which that they make it look so chaotic on the outside. So Arsenal, they figure this player is on the verge. It's the environment that's not good for him.
That'd be the same thing with
Messi Mount. When Man United took and dash with money, he left Liverpool with go sell bomb, give them, then we finished. The bomb, everybody go collect the one. Everybody go collect the bombs up. So just Arsenal, if them buy one a bomb, then them I get then I go and give right now. You that just 50 plus 10. You know if you do 50
60 plus 10
can carry non-ego. 50 plus. Every day at the crisis, Saka forget assistant too. You go if you use money. Make everybody know that I do you favor.
As I see gap day in between the valuation, so make gap continue. My mind all set. Give Ezzy. I don't want anybody can disrupt my transfers. Right now, my Yokores they come. My United fans, they cry. They like the way everything they balance out.
You see, this boy won't shift the conversation. Oh, you for stop him. Eh? Smiley, you for stop him.
I'm not talking to you.
I think wrapping up on Estevao, I think he's been good. I think Liam Delap has also been good. He's not scored goals, which is what I need. So, and also, he's a little petulant, and I don't like that. That'd be the same thing Jackson, they do, they get them red cards. No, he too, they do some.
Delap, you know that he's always been.
Give him three.
Is it
Jackson? How many games they gave him?
No, there will be two. Where the last match, like the coach bought him, because that's the same thing he did when we were playing Newcastle in the running. He go do, you not say no, get it. You go do like this. They give you red card right now. Your colleagues will carry your bed in. So that's in there. We don't get that time. Where if the lab to come, you know, check in mind quick. Wait, you can't do the same thing.
But the lab, you know, he's always had that. The lab has always had that old school British attacker kind of attitude. Like,
But you see, the problem with that, is that if he did it, if it be England, it'd be cool. The influence, like the fans go clap, dancing. So, the referee know if he give for club World Cup. First of all, the referee them shy.
see, the referees are no good. World Cup being easy chop, EB, everything for them. See the players, the people reports that they play. We foreseeing show for them. That we know say we have with the ginger. See. Yeah, there's something they can't afford.
See, with the play, the time we play, the match we play, the Palmeiras game, man. Them do prono, bro. Somebody go give my boy shoulder. Man, wait, it's a coffee. He no get sense. He says he go talk, he go laugh, then just make it go. He too, from that time, he then that center back, then fight the whole game. Wait, then give him a look at way. Then suspend now for the next one. So the semi final, you know, go play.
Who so, that?
The lap. But outside of that,
he gets yellows enough.
Two yellows. See, no. They say if you get two yellows, no.
You striker. Misses. Why they get two yellows?
Yeah, they talk, you know. That'd be the thing where if for change. One match, he go miss one match. But someone like Jackson right now, are the full bad self give up because
same way they go by striker.
Me,
I can buy Delap and João Pedro. So
we go no João Pedro be different. You put on the bad one at transfers. João Pedro be the he knows should I be striker. There will be the such a player where he knows should I be striker, but he definitely play that side. Right now we won't buy a ticket. If we in with the one too. But we don't get 80 million. So if Corey Dems can buy money 50 plus 10, then we go attach some of the club work up money. Then we go bid. We're right
see,
now
see,
to
see, rest some, in peace. Some,
Liverpool, some right now Liverpool can get hold for them attack. We and them for go man to man. So it will be easy. We need a goalkeeper. That one there. The Mike Mignon deal where we not do. He pay anywhere.
Correct me if I'm mistaken. I swear to Chelsea signed like 4 goalkeepers.
If we get another one, we won't sell 2. So if you put a left on Onana go, just can't take Sanchez. Quick.
You need goalkeeper, so you can't take Onana.
Huh? We need a goalkeeper. We know they search a policeman. We need a search goalkeeper. But
so, I did want to ask you, because you make me finish the club world.
I mean, we are wrapping up on that one because we've already spent a lot of time on the Club World Cup.
Yeah, but I think largely Chelsea, we've seen almost all our new signings, you know. So Delap, well, except Gittins can't play because he played for Dortmund. But he played one match for Dortmund. They say cap tight, you know, if he play. So Dortmund do we are for that side, might be cool. But Delap, we've seen Delap. We've seen Estevao play for Palmeiras, even against Chelsea. He was so good in the Chelsea. And they watch him and say, hey, you cuckoo, you the fight like that. He go take care of you if you come home. Won't it, bro, fool? If you cuckoo, I go give you place, make you bed. We've seen Santos. Very good. Very, very good. I'm happy. Isugo. He move like I said. You, boy, you die, yo. If you take anybody, can't cross outside. 89 minutes, but they can't see out the game. Isugo, they come. Red card, straight. We know that thing. And then EJP. John Peter there.
Joe, I have to. Let's move away from Chelsea. See, Cheeky boy, no? Or whatever his
name. Ryan Cheeky.
Ryan Cheeky. The boy, they can't support the Premier League. They can't support it. Wow.
As a United fan watched him against Lyon in the Europa last season, honestly, the guy, my only hope is that because he's going to play under Pep is going to stifle that expressive side of his game, try to turn him into that part-to-part warrior, like them fooding and things, robotic. Just try to limit. Yeah, robotic, because if you allow him to express himself, he's sort of like a throwback number 10 if you give him the chance to just express himself. So, like, it's definitely an excellent replacement for Kevin De Bruyne. Like, it's something that is seriously hurting me because I was hoping they wouldn't get a proper replacement for him.
The ball he gave, was it Foden?
Yeah, it was Foden. Over the top.
To score the goal there.
It was Foden.
Over the top ball. Look, he has a number 10 vibe with winger steez. Like, it'd be very weird. So, he's like an inside forward playmaker. Like, it'd be some weird combination.
Yeah,
but he plays in a pocket that is extremely difficult to defend against, and he has that time to look up, do some body shimmy, then play either outside of the foot, traveler, like you go do some crazy things.
Make I stop you for there. It not be outside the foot traveler. He go fit do that. But it also be either left foot or right foot. Wait, or either is Santi Cazorla, Santi Cazorla left foot, right foot?
You remember the goal he scored for France on his second, mm-hmm. was it his debut or his second? That's yeah, stupid outside of the box body. Everybody mm-hmm. was saying, oh yeah, like nice. I was just like, is everybody watching the same thing? Like,
the tech to execute that shot.
Dude, I was like, wait, are you kidding me? Like, this was the guy they take home the premiership where everybody they sit down cool, like, oh yeah, be an 21-year-old from Lyon.
How much am I for 30 million?
Did nobody see this guy for the last like three seasons? You know, three seasons.
This is one of my problems with like modern football and how we view things, because this guy was available for such a good
dude. Place.
And everybody just sitting back and saying, this guy, he's been there for like a while. Teams don't really want him, so maybe there's a reason why other teams don't want him.
See, make I tell you, it'd be racism. It'd be racism. Media, I don't go lie, it'd be no. See, make I explain why. Chelsea were the first team that wanted to sign him. Then our scouts in France told us that he has an attitude problem. That be the first thing. That'd be 2 years ago. The time
attitude
that
problem, they go play for Pep.
Wait. They say he has an attitude problem. That'd be the time where then, that'd be the season, the summer where we signed Palmer. That 2 years ago. Where it'd be like the next January or something, then Liverpool won't go sign him. Or the next summer. Last year, Liverpool won the guy. It do the same thing. Them two, them are scouts, tell them, say, it be attitude problem. But if you listen to people in France or people that have knowledge of French football, then go tell you, say, he don't get any attitude problem. Just be say, the way he did, the people where the scouts know, typical French people, they know they like them kind people.
Not African players.
Non-native mm-hmm. French. Mm-hmm. Where you get, like, the way then they treat Pogba. Like, he be non-native. You know, be French. You sound so be skillful, talented. They see your body add, you know, those guys, they don't like you for be humble.
And he's confident.
Humble.
Like somebody who that if he not score 10 games, it not matter. No. He will still be doing the same keche, same like mm-hmm. intricate try. He'll keep trying things.
Yeah.
And a lot of players, as soon as, Confi calm down now, he don't want dribble. This guy, he looks as if, like, that's the only thing he knows. I will dribble you then. Then either nuts make you then play some inside, no look pass, make somebody. Dude, this guy easily go assist. He easily go get 12 to 15 assists this season.
Bro, see,
in the league, man.
And he's such an asset for low blocks. Because if you be low block, if you be low block team, you figure blocking. You make compact. Once he go chip him over you.
Mm-hmm.
He go find, if you give him small space, he go thread the pass through.
Mm-hmm.
Like he they see things where other players no shutdown necessarily they see, or then they see by them they go the things, oh, this is too difficult a pass to execute. He's so technically secured that he's not worried to try that pass. If it doesn't work,
I am hoping though, sorry Vangala, I am hoping that it doesn't I'm hoping the league go overarm small then slow arm down, like see you know get that time. Because, you know, this is a club world where sometimes they, let's be honest.
Yeah,
but
yeah, of course.
For league inside, Charlie, as soon as you turn, say, the control ball, no, then, how do they call that Everton guy now? India or whatever his name. some DM, they can't cut you, giddy.
If you
release, or you go turn, no, then, Onana, they stand your front. He won't body you, like, you know, we'll give you
but
that
see,
time. And then we'll see that the body they can't face. Else.
Sorry. That's the thing. The problem is that those players know, and what I've seen of that guy, you know, be say he know they read. By the time before he go get the pass, he read already. So he sees you, they can't do that. So if you be left foot, he go take J the ball around you, then spin
and
then can't take
that. I knew it, then go sign up.
Bum.
He can't show up the my left side. That
bump.
He's
bump.
Been waiting for a replacement for it. Not be bump. It never be bump.
You watch me. I tell you defensively, serial.
Oh
bump.
Yeah, defensively.
I mean,
yeah,
he's been playing
yeah.
as a wing back. He's been playing as a wing back all these years for Wolves. So like,
yes,
it's
yes. So he's always covered by the left center back. Way Man City, oh, they know they play like that.
Watch, make you watch. I don't want to make
even,
you shout out.
I don't want to talk about Liverpool. Even Kekes, he too defensively.
Me, Kekes, then Firpo. As I see them sign that thing, I say, oh, nice one. People try it. And they like. And they like, wow. Yeah, the only one, and they fear me, maybe Vets. But that left back, right back, see, might get past.
See, Vets, we go hold them. That boy, the league go hold them. Kune, we go grip them. Like this, make you shock.
You know, on our next episode, we go dissect that one a bit more. But before we wrap up, quick predictions for the Club World Cup. Who are you tipping to win? Van Gerwen, make a start.
Chelsea Football Club.
Oh, Madrid.
Madrid. I'm tipping PSG.
Fuck Madrid. PSG.
PSG versus Madrid. One of them will go.
Yeah, PSG. PSG.
Chelsea. Then
forget about PSG.
If we score Fluminense, if we catch the final, it'll be anybody's land. We go, if we score somebody 1-0, then left.
Whoever you go miss for the final, then go lash you. So that one,
why you miss like, PSG? I won't meet PSG. So we go score them 2-1. Make everybody shock.
If you miss PSG, then go lash you. If you miss Madrid, then go lash you. But anyway, Madrid, we've come to the end of this episode.
Wait. Madrid, how can get red card? So it go feel be 2 matches. So you don't go play. The semi-final and the
final. That was the PSG who last them.
PSG.
Madrid, they are still red cards. The last game, they get 2 red cards too.
PSG are a more settled team. Madrid is a team that is now adapting to their new situation. But
Pacho be them a left center back. Way to then give them red card. So who they come
there? No, you make it no worry.
Whoever will come, they will score here.
It could be cool.
No matter who. We've come to the end of this episode. If you haven't done this already, please follow our social media pages, Twitter, Instagram, ATW Podcast, GCR, TikTok, After the Whistle. Subscribe to the YouTube, After the Whistle Podcast, and leave a comment when you can. Share the episode links. Just help us to spread the episodes. So, Charlie, guys, thank you once again for joining us, and we are hoping that we finally ended our summer break. We are coming back full blast in the coming
hiatus is over.
Yes, so watch out for our future episodes. And as always, After the Whistle, dominate the conversation.